Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Book Talk with Lawrence J. King. From coast to coast, across the nation, Lawrence is an internationally known six-time published author. Book Talk highlights published authors from the local, regional, national, and international scene, as well as showcasing musicians and people of interest in a positive and productive way. Give a rockin' warm welcome to your host, Lawrence J. King.
All right. Thank you. This is Lawrence J. King, the host of Book Talk Radio in the house. And today is my honor and privilege to have with me an individual who has written a book called Standing on Shoulders, A Leader's Guide to Digital Transformation by Jack Mayer and Carmen Yardo. And so without further ado, let's bring Jack onto our show so we can get into this book and talk about the things that are necessary to market and promote this book, as well as spend an afternoon with Jack himself. How you doing, Jack? Welcome to Book Talk Radio. How's it going today?
Very much for having me, Lawrence. I really appreciate it. I'm doing great.
Outstanding. Glad to have you on my show today. And so before
Thank
we
you.
Go into depth about your book called The Leader's Guide to Digital Transformation, tell our listening audience who you are, a couple of your titles, and what you're all about these days.
Sure, thanks. I appreciate that. I really call myself the digital transformation evangelist these days. I'm predominantly doing a lot of consulting and speaking and coaching and education engagements around DevOps, which is kind of at the core of digital transformation. For those that are outside of the technology domain, who are really one of the main targets for this book, it's really about how companies can refocus in a post-Google, post-Amazon world where customer expectations have changed dramatically, where speed to market and market responsiveness is so important, how they can leverage lower costs and better performance by moving to a digital space, and how easy it is for most companies because it's about doing the right things for the right people for the right reasons.
I understand. And so before we get into this book deeply, let's talk about the focus of this guide. Let's get to focusing on the focus of this guide.
Great, thanks. Yeah, you know, when we originally wrote the book, we were targeting it at our peers and collaborators to sort of capture state-of-the-art of the DevOps world and how that would integrate with the rest of our organization. And so initially it was geared towards big business, but the more we've spent time with other organizations and looked at it, you know, along with a fresh set of eyes, we've realized that this applies to leaders at all levels. In fact, I've actually gone out and worked with individual teams that want to incorporate this approach, as well as putting it across a Fortune 100 financial services organization across a 8,000 IT footprint. So it scales really well up and down and enables a lot of folks to leverage, you know, the big and good things that Amazon and Google have brought to the world and play on a very different stage.
Absolutely. I noticed that you have the U.S. Army as one of your customers. That's a big ticket to fill. I'm a U.S. Army veteran myself. And so,
yep.
In particular, Jack, who is this book for and why should anyone read it?
Well, it's the leadership that should read this, because especially folks that have been in the military and understand leadership and have seen, you know, the different styles that folks have, you know, you're going to see a cross-section, including the best and worst of our populations. And so the real, true, authentic leaders that care about and take care of their people. You know, one of the examples that I loved that I ran across recently was about how Marine officers eat after their troops to make sure that the most important you know, parts of their units are taken care of. And, you know, there was a whole lot of loyalty that comes from that authentic leadership. And that's what this book does. It really will liberate folks to look at this and say, you know, some of the things that we've looked at in the marketplace that we thought were real touchy-feely, well, it turns out it doesn't just feel good. It does good. So what we want to do is refocus on our people that are executing our mission. And at first we thought it was business, but we're finding nonprofits see the same thing. Let's get refocused on our mission, why we are here, what we deliver, the value that we create, the value that we deliver. Focus on that. Focus on the people that build and create and deliver that. And then everybody can focus on the customer. And you end up with this virtuous cycle of we're very focused on our customers. Our people can be collaborative and creative because they feel safe. They feel psychologically safe to work in a place because the management really cares about them, and they show it in an authentic way, in a servant leadership way. And it really is a beautiful picture because we can draw upon the actual successes of many companies and build on very basic principles that are part of any MBA program. So it's really connecting those dots for folks. Most of the folks that read it say, you know what, you're right. I never saw how those things came in a relationship, like the relationship between lean and agile and DevOps in the technology space. We do the same thing on the business side.
Outstanding, outstanding. So, Jack, I'm going to play the devil's advocate here for just a second. Who are you to write this book? What makes you qualified? Why should anyone listen?
That's a great question. You know, I spent the first half, when I got out of the Army, I spent the first half of my career in sales and marketing, selling polymers and composites. And that's where you'll see on there some of the things we talked about earlier about the logos with the U.S. Army. I started off with a company called BorgWarner out of Chicago. They were bought by GE. I stuck around with GE for a while, went to another company. GE bought them, which turned out to be a Kawasaki Steel company. So I had a whole lot of experience around how businesses operate from a sales marketing. I came inside, and then they asked me to move into IT so that I could bring that customer perspective to IT. In the past 15-plus years, I've been doing IT things, everything from being a developer, architect. I've led development shops. I've led security teams. So I've had almost every job in the IT space. And most recently, my co-author and I were responsible for designing and implementing him the tools, me the people and process components of the way we took an organization that was very traditional, very waterfall, into a lean and agile way that implemented DevOps practices. And we were able to put all this together, and we did it across an entire Fortune 100 financial services company. So, you know, we've seen it happen at the team level and all the way up through. And we're just, you know, fortunate to be able to work together, to have had the backgrounds that we had, and to have the opportunity to, you know, have this, like, you know, ticker toy to be able to prove out all of these things, that when you connect all of these dots, this beautiful picture really does emerge and it works.
I understand. Let's give a shout out there to Carmen Biardo and tell us a little bit about who this individual is and things of that nature, and then we'll move right on to deeper subject.
Absolutely.
Matter.
Carmen is a very good friend of mine. I had the opportunity to work with him for the past 5 years. As I said, designing these processes and tools to work together, we had to share a lot of, you know, challenges, and by the time we were done, we were finishing each other's sentences. He also retired about the same time I did, took an early out. He went to work for a software company, and he is the senior value stream management strategist for Tasktop Engineering Company. They do integration software. And in fact, the CEO of that company just recently released a book as well, From Project to Product, which is very much an input into our book as well. So, you know, again, that's where he and I have been very fortunate to be in the right places at the right time. He has a strong technology background going all the way back to Lucent and a couple of patents from the telecom days. So, super guy, and we both share some firsthand experiences from these various companies in the book to show it's not just we think this might work, but we try to back it up in every case with either firsthand, this is what I did, this is where we did it, this is how it worked out. Sometimes it worked great, sometimes not so much, and here's the lesson that you learned from that. But it was a real privilege for me to work with Carmen.
Amazing.
Carmen also was able to.
Leading by.
He had a great. Carmen was also responsible for getting Gene Kim involved in our project. For those in the technology space and are aware of DevOps, Gene King is pretty much the guy who started this with his book, The Phoenix Project. Really kind of single-handedly made DevOps happen and become the viral thing it's become in the IT space. I'm very happy to have Gene to lean on and support us in this project.
I understand. And so what is meant by standing on shoulders in the title of this book?
Well, one of the things that we did with this, and in fact, my first title for this, the first working title, was going to be Jeet Kune Lean, a nod towards Jeet Kune Do, which, of course, is the martial art that was created by Bruce Lee and brought out in his book, Tao of Jeet Kune Do, was around always doing the best of what you had available, starting from where you are. When you find something better, you do that and you drop it. You don't do the old thing anymore. So he took the best parts of boxing and fencing and kung fu and karate and brought all these together in a different way. As we moved through this, we realized that there were so many pieces of this book that touched different parts of the business that we wanted to acknowledge that we're building on the work that many people have done. We go all the way back to Deming and you know his post-World War II, and sometimes even as far back as looking at the work motion studies that were done in the beginning of the industrial age, and how we can piece these together of, you know, the focus on people and leverage, you know, the strong approach of apprentice to journeyman to master in our skill base, in our organizations, and focus on teams and not so much on people. And then give that focus and empowerment to those teams so they can really operate in the best possible way. We've seen it work in manufacturing for many, many years, but now we have the tools in place to begin to do this with all of the ways that we work and begin to move the administrative kinds of things like, you know, filling out reports. We don't have to do those because the information is available to us. And so what we want to do is enable folks to focus on the things they're good at. If you're always fighting against the clock trying to get, you know, everything done that you need to get done that day, you can't really be innovative and creative. So if we can, you know, automate the routine and mundane things that may be complicated but not complex, then we can enable people to focus on the creative work and do the things that they're good at and give them the time to be creative and innovative.
Certainly, certainly. What is a digital transformation and why would I want it or not want it?
Well, it's coming our way, whether we want it or not. And frankly, we as individuals all do want it because this transformation is really what's happened to our world since Amazon and Google, frankly. The way they have, gotten to where they are, you know, with Amazon being such an enormous company and Google with so many diverse contributions, you know, back to people. They got this growth by being very, very focused on their people. Certainly, you know, at Google, we've heard about the chefs that provide, you know, the meals in the office space that, you know, many of the basic services are provided. They have nap pods. Well, they focus on the people so that the people can focus on the work, and it really works. And then giving them the best tools to be able to do these things. So now, as those new technologies, things we never even considered before, like, you know, geo mapping on our phones, you know, that happens because people are given the time and space and resources to do that kind of creative work. In a different way, Amazon was very similar as well in terms of, you know, feeding the business, being very, very focused on what consumers want and how they can, you know, get that to them. In Columbus, I can order something on Amazon and literally within a couple hours, it will be at my home, or I can go down the street and there's a pickup box, you know, and no matter where we are now in the world, we expect that. And we as service providers, even, you know, the local companies are finding more and more, they really have to compete a little differently than they used to. It's not optional to not be on Yelp or to utilize any of the other modern technology tools, because you just won't be noticed. You'll be strangled out of the market. So, you know, having those kind of core capabilities, whether it's at that level or scaling up through a mid-sized business where they really shouldn't probably be investing in things like HR software when they can get that as software as a service, this book will help folks see where you can apply these same concepts at all three of those different levels, because you're focused on the core concept. And the core concepts really get down to who are we? What are we supposed to do? How are we aligning our values, our mission, along with our resources and what we're doing, what we're focused on? And then how can we continue to improve how we create and deliver that value to our customers? And that's what digital transformation really is that laser focus on that. Most companies kind of have an idea of how they do that, but until you actually do a value stream map, what we find is that folks are surprised. And in fact, we think value stream mapping is so important. It's what Carmen does now for a company, and it's also one of the appendices in this book of how to, you know, get started with value stream mapping. It's not really an instructional on that, but it is a step-by-step to do that, along with a couple other actionable appendices, like on design thinking, for example.
Outstanding. So, Jack, tell our listening audience the title of your book, where people can get those books, everything, all your information.
Great. The book is called Standing on Shoulders, A Leader's Guide to Digital Transformation. It's being hosted all over the place. It's, of course, on Amazon. Right now, the Microsoft Store has the ebook for $2.40, which is a fantastic deal. I would be very happy for folks to take advantage of that. Also, please come to our website. It's at standingonshoulders.us. You don't have to worry about the W's. If you want to put them in there, it'll work too. But at standingonshoulders.us, number one, it will give you any updates to information. We've become aware since the book printed that the very first URL that we provided is no longer valid. So on the website, we've got some replacement information and another URL for that. We also have other information on there, links to some of the other tools. So we talk a little bit about deterministic process design in the book. We have a whole website on that. And by linking through, you can get templates that will help you get started on defining some of your processes. More information about the design thinking and how to get some workshops on that. So, and please to link with me on LinkedIn. I'm happy to do some, you know, consulting on the line as well. So again, standingonshoulders.us, and the book is Standing on Shoulders, A Leader's Guide to Digital Transformation.
Awesome. Sounds like it's like my radio show, sweeping the nation from coast to coast across the nation and around the world, for that matter. Is that a fact?
As a matter of fact, it is. We've gotten some fantastic feedback. Carmen has been speaking on the international stage for several years now. And so, in fact, I think he's speaking in London again this coming spring. He was also in Barcelona and a couple other places this year overseas, as well as a lot of speaking around the country. He's very well known, easily found on YouTube with his speeches. Then you'll find us also on Speaker Hub, something that we like to do.
And your website information again.
StandingOnShoulders.us.
Outstanding. So, Jack, let's get back into this book a little bit. The term DevOps, that's a mind blower. Maybe you can expound on that.
Yeah, if we want to look at things from the IT perspective, and you know, this book tries to give us a good balance, because the technologies involved do matter, and you know, there's a tremendous change taking place right now, where putting a data center in for a company, or even having your own servers somewhere, doesn't seem to make sense for very many folks anymore. Tapping into the cloud gives us a ton of capabilities. Similarly, the way our technology space has developed, there are some tremendous tools, and DevOps is taking those tools and enabling us to break down some of the walls between various groups. So when we think about the way we operate today, all businesses operate on software, and we all have at least somebody that keeps the software going for our company. And, you know, that becomes a more and more critical piece of how we operate each day. Like I said, we started earlier about Amazon, and that kind of expectation continues to, you know, take place within our organizations. We're continuing to see that we need to treat our customers and employees in the same way and give them the apps and the access that are appropriate. So in order to do those things, we need to incorporate some of the newer tools. Those newer tools bring the ability to do the rest of our work in a different way, using state-of-the-art, and it's really the nice thing about it is the tools that are in place or available today for developers are great tools. So when we go to technology teams and talk about, you know, we need to change the tools on here so that we can do things differently, they're always our most enthusiastic audience because the tools are the tools that are in use in, you know, Silicon Valley today. They are the current state. So it enables us then to use the right tools along with this focus on our resources so that we're able to begin to deliver value very quickly and safely. A key part of this is being able to automate your releases and being resilient in your processes. A big part of DevOps, which is bringing our development teams and our operations teams together, is to realize that we really do have common goals, where it has been perceived as different in the past, where development wants to create and build new things, which is inherently not stable. And operations is responsible for keeping these systems up and operating well. So by bringing the teams together, and that's what DevOps is bringing our operations teams and our software teams into working together so that they can understand that how these changes are happening. By using automated tools as well, we're able to automate the testing from a security perspective so we can ensure that everything that goes into our production environment is completely tested. And the folks that are around governance and compliance love these automated processes because they're very auditable. They have a high degree of transparency. There's a data trail. So, you know, it's a win for everybody. And by automating these processes, we're also able to speed them up. So where it has taken in the past weeks and months to get software through the processes, by using the automated processes and feature flags and some of the other capabilities, we're now able to deliver much more quickly. And it's a great opportunity for, you know, our businesses to get responsiveness to the marketplace. Just as we do with Amazon, our business customers expect us to be more and more flexible and there where we need them to be. So that's really what we want to do with this, and that's where this, you know, applies at all levels of businesses, whether it's a, you know, relatively small shop to Fortune 100.
I understand. So I'm not in IT, so would this book be beneficial to someone that is not into IT?
Yeah, you know, and it's been interesting because we kind of preach this to the IT choir, if you will, and it's been very, very well received. But and that's great validation. But it's the folks that aren't in IT that this book is geared towards. The next one, we'll talk to the IT folks about how to implement that, you know, and we'll bridge that gap. But, you know, this is really about understanding this whole process. It also works well. I've had a number of folks come to me and say, you know, I'm using this so I can sort of manage my boss. So they sometimes will start off. We've had a couple of groups contact us that started off as just we're going to try this on our team and see how it goes. And they really liked it. And the other teams that were near them decided to do that as well. So they wanted to sort of manage their way up. And it worked out very well. We've done that at another client where we have what we call a pilot, and then folks you know, see this, and it typically is a very exciting way when you start to work as teams. You don't have these, you know, heads down silences because folks are working together on the same work, and by being more focused and putting a team focus on the work, we can get that work done more efficiently and effectively and more quickly. And more creatively. So it becomes this very infectious thing that, you know, it's like to call it a virtuous cycle. Folks become more engaged. They become more creative. They create more. They get more invested in the work. And it begins to show. And we see, you know, the advantages of that. And it feels good. It's nice to keep folks, you know, in the organization happy, and it becomes this virtuous cycle.
I hear you loud and clear. So I noticed that the title of your book, it implies something about leadership and leaders, and you spoke of that in this book as well. Maybe expound on that just a bit.
Yeah, we talk about leadership several times in here because that's one of the things about, you know, these kinds of transformations is that it's a little bit different than the ones in the past where folks came in and wanted to throw money and technology at problems. You know, this is geared to leaders, and part of it is to say you have a very active role in this. You need to be authentic. You need to be visible. You need to, you know, be out in front, and we draw upon, you know, the lessons of history, and particularly from, you know, the military. You know, I mentioned earlier about the Marine officers eating after their troops. We also talk a bit about the commander's intent. One of the things that has always distinguished the United States forces, particularly in World War II and since, was the fact that, you know, the individual soldiers knew not just where they were going, but what the objective was and why. And, you know, that and the determination made a big difference. And it was, you know, lead, follow, or get out of my way kind of approach that, you know, we really need from leaders. And so it's not just, you know, get the IT folks some new gadgets and toys, but, hey, you know, let's, you know, rearm ourselves, be prepared for this digital transformation that's going to happen. And we have really two choices. We can wait for somebody else to do it and then try to disrupt the disruptor, or we can be out front and carving our own path, you know, of a way that makes our customers happy, makes our associates more engaged and happier, and makes us all more productive, both effectively and efficiently. And it's a really nice thing when you can do this, and in the context of being, you know, very much, you know, in alignment with a lot of the cultures of humility and trust and respect, and, you know, it becomes, you know, again, this self-reinforcing positive cycle. And, you know, we can then ride the ripples of the changes from Amazon, you know, in a way that's going to suit ourselves and our mission and directly improve the way we create and deliver value to our customers, whoever they are.
Outstanding. Yes, I'm highly interested in this book, and I'm a layperson per se in the world of technical gadgets and things. But so, Jack, let's talk about this book, man. What's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this? In a nutshell, my man, what is this book about, and who is this book for?
This book is about making sure that you're clear on what your mission is, and then aligning your resources along with that, focusing on your people that deliver that mission and enabling them to continuously improve the creation and delivery of value to your customers. That's going to satisfy you and them and create an ongoing relationship.
Amazing. So, Jack, one more time, we're coming to a close. Plug all your information where people can get some personal consulting from you, as well as pick up your amazing book and all that stuff.
Absolutely. The best way is to come to the website at https://standingonshoulders.us. Most browsers, you can just put in standingonshoulders.us, and it'll bring you right to our site. You can contact me through there, and I'd love to connect with you on LinkedIn as well. You can do that on there, and that's a great way for us to initiate whatever level of questions or assistance you might require.
Awesome. So on that note, Jack, I do appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us on Book Talk Radio today, and I hope you have a wonderful and productive evening as well.
Thank you, Lawrence.
You're most welcome. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Jack Mayer talking about his book, his amazing book. And so get out there and pick up a copy of that. You'll be glad you did. This is Lawrence J. King out of the house at Book Talk Radio. Tune in next time when you hear me say Book Talk Radio. Thank you.
Lawrence, you there?
I'm right here. I cannot put you on the